Thank you, Leah. My name is Arliss Peters. I'm part of the church family here. Pastor Ryan is away, as you all know. He'll be away for most of the month of August. A couple of months ago, it feels like he started us on a series of the book of Genesis. We'll be continuing with that series in his absence. Last two Sundays, we met Jacob. And Jacob was an interesting character. We continue to focus on Jacob this morning. As I prepared, mentioning Jacob as an interesting character, as I prepared, it occurred to me that Jacob was born in Genesis chapter 25. And if you check the record, he's buried in Genesis 50. According to my math, that would suggest that 50% of the book of Genesis is devoted to Jacob. How many of you hear Jacob, your favorite character in the Bible? How come God has such a different view than we do? 50% of the book of Genesis, we have the story of creation. We have the story of the fall. We have the story of the flood. That took up 25% of Genesis, about. 50% to Jacob. You look at Jesus' genealogy in the New Testament. The book of Matthew, the book of Luke, both mention Jacob. If you or I would have been in charge of that, I think Jesus' genealogy would have looked differently. We would have chosen stellar people to be in Christ's genealogy. I find it amazing, but I find it incredibly encouraging. Why encouraging? Because if God, in his wisdom, from creation past, chose Jacob, there's a hope for the likes of you and me. Amen? The passage that Pastor has asked me to look at is Genesis 31 to 35. We will not read the passage this morning. I want to leave you with three questions today that sort of focus our attention on a couple of lessons from this passage. The first question I want to leave with you is, can you be happy when God is blessing others? I mean, can you really be happy? Can you rejoice when others are rejoicing? In chapter 31 of Genesis, verse 1, we read, Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all his wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. When Jacob started to work for Laban, they had a little conference in which they discussed his wages. Jacob made a proposal. I'll take all the lambs, all the goats that are funny looking, and all the ones that are good looking will be yours. Laban was a farmer. He knew a good deal when he saw one. And he said, I'll sign on that. Shortly after Jacob was in charge of the lambs and the goats, Laban noticed something. Most of the lambs and most of the goats were funny looking. It wasn't too long when Jacob's herd was swelling and Laban's not so much. He had a choice. Laban and his sons had a choice. They could be happy with Jacob because God was blessing Jacob. Jacob tried to help God, and you know the story. But if you read the account, it's clear that God had his hand in that, and God was blessing Jacob. Laban had a choice. Rejoice with Jacob or be envious, be jealous. Laban and his sons chose jealousy. And jealousy is a seed very much like cancer that takes place in our heart, that's planted in our hearts, and jealousy has very few favorable side effects. I don't know anybody who, when they hear the announcement that they have cancer, say, "Oh, neat, I get to have surgery, radiation, chemo, I get to lose my hair." Jealousy is a cancer. When we are faced every week, probably every day, with the choice that Laban and his sons faced. Not the big ones, maybe. We come across those occasionally, but the little ones. I notice some of the guys still have a full head of hair. Can I rejoice with them, or am I envious of them? Some of them have beautiful skin. Some of your skin is blemish-free. You tan easily, no zits. Some of you have beautiful fingernails, and on and on and on. Josh and his wife had the blessing, the joy of welcoming a little life into their family. Can we genuinely rejoice with them? Or is there just a little sniggering of jealousy? How come their son is so good looking? Can we be happy when God is blessing others? Second question, your safety, your health, your longevity, is it solely your doing? Jacob has worked for Laban a long time now, and it's time to move on. He knows that it's time to move on because God told him so. There were also circumstances that indicated that it's time to move on. He had a family conference, and the family conference confirmed, let's move on. Jacob had an option. He could have met with Laban and laid his cards on the table and said, "You know, Laban, I think the time has come. God is moving in my spirit. I think the time has come." Jacob didn't choose that option. They decided that they would leave quietly. You know, it's a bit of a challenge to face your employer eyeball to eyeball across the table and say, "After 20 years, I'm pulling the pin, guy." Jacob chose the easy route, and they decided to slip away quietly. So while Laban is shearing sheep, it's a festive time, he's having a great time, Laban and his family slip away quietly. How a dozen kids and a few hundred sheep slip away quietly is beyond me, but they tried. 3 days later, Laban hears about it. Laban hears that Jacob has left, but he hears something else. The household gods are gone. And he associates the two together. He feels that Jacob has probably lifted the idols and has gone. And when we think about it, Laban was probably upset about Jacob's leaving, right? But we don't understand the culture. Whoever held the household idols was entitled to the lion's share of the estate. Oh, that's getting a little closer to home. I think I can feel it right here. Somebody is meddling with my estate. Laban had sons, and typically the sons got the lion's share of the estate. So Jacob, in Laban's mind, Jacob has made off not only with his daughters and grandchildren and flocks and herds, but he is also meddling with the rest of the estate. So Laban is not very happy, and I can't imagine his sons being very happy. They pursue. 7 days later, they catch up. And I can't imagine his disposition has improved much after riding a camel, for 7 days. They have a heated exchange. It's a long story. You really need to see the movie or read the text. It's a long story, but they have a heated exchange, and they basically, I don't like you and you don't like me. They decide that they are going to disagree, but they want to come to some kind of an agreement. It's a poor, you don't want to leave family or friends like Jacob and Laban left each other. But they have this abominable meeting, and they have this agreement, and then they finally call it a day. Early the next morning, 31 verse 55, early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "Nice wings. I like your halo." When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim, meaning two camps. What is that all about? Nothing more is said of it. When I read that and reread that, I puzzled over that for a little while, but they say that the Bible is often its own best concordance. And if you turn to Psalm 34 in verse 7, the psalmist sheds some light on that passage in Genesis. The psalmist in 34 verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Now that was true for the psalmist. Was that true a few hundred years earlier for Jacob? Is that true a few thousand years later for you and me? The Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. You know, when Jacob met Laban, I don't think Jacob realized how close a call he had just come through. When he saw the angels the next morning, the light went on. There were two camps here. There was my camp, and there was the angels' camp. And I believe the angels' camp surrounded Jacob's camp. There are occasions, folks, where you and I realize that we have had a close call. Maybe our knees are shaking a little bit, our hands tremble, our voice trembles. How many times? How many times, and we will never know, how many times have we come within an inch of our lives and been oblivious to it? We've lived in small towns a lot of years, and we've got two-way highways, and you're traveling 80, 90, 100 kilometers. BC, we don't speed, so we're restricted to that. Somebody is coming the other direction. We're within 3 meters of eternity when that other vehicle passes. You know, our attention is distracted for a split second, and we wander into that other lane, and we're in eternity. It can happen that quickly. After we've been on the road for a couple hours, we reach our destination. Nothing happened. We just chill out. It's been a great road trip. The angel of the Lord has encamped around us and delivered us. Your safety, is it solely your doing? Not a chance. The third question I want to leave with you, do bad things happen to good people? To get the gist of the story, we need to read chapter 34 and 35. It contains six examples of bad things that happened in Jacob's life. Let me just list them for you. His wife Dinah is raped. Two of his sons commit murder. His oldest son sleeps with his concubine. Deborah, a close family friend, dies. Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, dies. Jacob's father, Isaac, dies. Incidentally, last Sunday, Dave made a little bit of a slip. Some of you picked up on it, some of you didn't. But it's on the final, and so he asked if I would draw it to your attention. It wasn't his father's funeral that he missed. It was probably his mother's funeral that he missed. We have no record of his mother's funeral, but many of us believe that it was his mother's funeral. Leave that. Do bad things happen to good people? If we look at Jacob's example, we have to say it would appear so. I was reminded of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. And if you read, there's story after story after story of people who have attempted great things for God, miraculous things, supernatural things, and God has been with them, seen them through, and they live to tell the story. And then you come to verse 35. The second part of verse 35 says, there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Bad things happen to good people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to think of the Grace Church family from yesteryear. And I was reminded of a 7-year-old girl contacted cancer. The funeral took place in this auditorium. Her parents were here a couple of months ago. I think of a young father, husband and father. I think he was in his 20s. You can correct me if I'm an error. He was diagnosed with cancer in his stomach, had a tumor the size of a volleyball, passed away. I think of a young couple who were awaiting their second child, I think. When the baby was born, it had spina bifida. And for lay people, the backbone was outside the body. Not good. I think of another young fellow, the redhead kid. I think he was around 12 or 14. Cancer, passed away. I think of another fellow, 16 years old, Sumas Prairie, farming accident, dead. I think of marriages. I think of a couple, 3 or 4 marriages in the church family that broke up. We think of addictions and accidents, and do bad things happen to good people? Yeah, they do. They do. The psalmist summarized it in Psalm 23 and verse 4 when he said, even though I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord was his shepherd. But that did not mean to say that he would not face any trials or pain or hardship or difficulties. We've reviewed a few lessons from Jacob's life. It's a relatively dark period in his life. Can we rejoice when God is blessing others, or will jealousy rob us of that joy? Our safety, is it solely our doing? No, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Do bad things happen to good people? They do. God doesn't spare us from the valleys, but he accompanies us through them. I realize that we haven't come close to touching all the lessons in this passage. They are many. My hope and prayer is that we've touched on one or maybe two that you can take with you that will be an encouragement, a blessing, a challenge to you in the days and weeks ahead. Father, we thank you for the life of Jacob. He was not a perfect man. We can all identify with him because he was so much like we are. And yet, in spite of his shortcomings and failures, you had a plan, an amazing plan for his life. We marvel. We thank you for the lessons that we can draw from his life, and I pray that we can, as a result of looking at Jacob, become more like our Savior, for we ask it in his name. Amen.